This is Keep On Cooking, a podcast for people who love cookbooks and want to know more about the authors. It's also a great place to get a weekly dose of culinary inspiration to keep things pumping in the kitchen. So grab a cookbook and keep on cooking. I'm Dustin Harder, and this is Keep On Cooking. Hello, and welcome to Keep On Cooking, the only podcast dedicated to plant-based cookbooks. I'm your host, Dustin Harder, and he's stuck with me. It's my Benny Boo Boo Baby Cakes boy toy and husband, David Rossetti. Howdy do?
Howdy do good.
How'd you do? How'd you do? How'd you do?
I am good. Something feels different.
Is something
about this episode? Something is afoot. Something feels different. What could it be?
We've gotten older.
Yes, there's that.
We've gotten wiser.
We have celebrated our 43rd birthday.
But when we're talking about the podcast. You don't need to come in here, air out our dirty laundry about our age. When we're talking about the podcast, we're hitting three digits, baby. This
That's
is
right.
Our very special 100th episode.
100th.
Oh my god.
Can you believe it?
We're celebrating the 100th episode, everybody. I can't believe it. We decided to switch things up a bit, so... I mean, we'll get into that in a minute, but let's just talk about the 100th episode.
Let's
this has been a slow climb.
Yes.
And I, you know, it's interesting. We've got a great interview today, and in it, the chef talks about following your gut at one point. And I thought about that after we got off the call, and I was like, well, Mike, because there have been times with this podcast where we're like, maybe we should just give it up. You know, our listenership. Listen, the listenership here is small but mighty, and I love all y'all who listen to this podcast and pop up and chat with me in my DMs and email me and all that stuff and tell me what you're cooking and tag Keep On Cooking Pod
and say
me.
They like bought a book and
yeah,
they loved it.
I love it so much. And the reason I, you know, got into vegan food the way that I did was literally just to share everything that's out there in a fun, welcoming, engaging resource. And that started originally with the Vegan Roadie in 2014, 2015.
Talking about airing dirty laundry.
Yes, baby.
That was a long time ago.
It's been a decade. And the whole point was to show things, to do like a plant-based version of Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. So it was fun. People didn't feel any judgment, no matter where you're at on your food journey.
Sure.
If you're curious about plant-based food, I am here for you. I want to show you what things there are available to you, what resources there are available to you. So that takes us to the original idea of this podcast.
Yeah.
So like everyone in the pandemic, actually, we had this idea before the pandemic.
Yeah,
so
did.
I want to be clear about this. This was not a pandemic baby. It was born during the pandemic, but the idea of it was in motion
before
probably
that,
a year before the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And the idea was to do a podcast called The Vegan Roadie, to take what we had done on screen and transition it to a podcast, because filming The Vegan Roadie requires a lot of money.
Ooh.
I mean, aside
time
from
time and work. And...
yes. And aside from having a camera crew, just the money of paying for travel
yeah.
alone.
Yep.
And we did three crowdfunding campaigns. We funded three seasons of The Vegan Roadie. I say we because while I was the face out there screaming and yelling and begging for money, David was supporting me in the most emotional way ever. Because if you've ever done a Kickstarter
or any kind of crowdfunding,
ooh,
it is intense.
It is intense. So anyways, we were going to make this podcast. We were just going to call it The Vegan Roadie. It was going to go to, I was going to interview chefs from restaurants. And then all the equipment showed up at the doorstep. And the world shut down.
Oh, yeah.
So we thought, okay, that's not going to happen. We're not going to do a podcast. I can return this equipment.
Because so many places like closed or were struggling.
It was just unknown.
And it's like, hey, can you be on a podcast?
It was can you be on the podcast when your business could essentially close next week? How do you feel about that? Can we talk about all the yummy food
you're hemorrhaging money from like closings?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So it just felt like a very insensitive time to do something called the Vegan Roadie podcast. And that's when Keep On Cooking was born, because I looked around and I said, well, what can we do that still creates a fun resource for people while also talking to people who create vegan food. Mm-hmm. And that's when Keep On Cooking was born. We looked around, we saw, you know, probably at that time I don't know, 75 to 100 cookbooks.
Yeah.
That we both cook from. The idea started originally as like, I will cook from a cookbook every time. And of course, as time has progressed, there's not time to do that. If we're doing an episode every week and I'm developing recipes for my professional life.
Sure.
There's not enough room in our fridge. There's not enough room in our bellies. There's not enough time in the day. So now I cook from them as much as I can. And even if I can't, I still have the guest on so they can tell you about their cookbooks. And it has been a tremendous joy. What have you enjoyed most about the podcast?
I mean, I think seeing you get inspired by the cookbooks and the authors that like we've both cooked from. I mean, you definitely way more than me, but
I love it when you cook those. Sometimes you get really excited about an author being on and you're like, I need to try something out of there.
There is something about like picking up a book that's got like a picture of like some food and oh, let's give it a shot. And like, you know, varying degrees of success, depending on your experience. But like you create something from nothing, ultimately, with the help of like whoever's story, you know.
And blood, sweat, and tears went into that book. So it's so interesting that you say that when you pick up the book, because I got, like I was saying, when I first started this bit about books, we looked around trying to pivot and we had like 75 to 100 cookbooks laying around that publishers had sent us and, you know, just for me to like hold up on Instagram or whatever. And I thought, well, how can we make use of these? And so we did that. But now I get so many cookbooks. I just were moving, as people know. I was like, and we're trying to downsize, but I was like, these cookbooks mean so much to me. Sure. And I indexed them. I mean, I don't know if I indexed them. I put them on an Excel. Index seems that's like it might be a little that's more involved, right? That's a version.
You can
of
search
it, right?
For them. Yeah, make sure.
But I had 276 in that moment. And I did pare it down to 250, everybody. So anyways, all that to say, we keep growing with this. We love it. We love the cookbooks. And when I get someone's cookbook in my hand and I hold it in my hand, I am like, there is an energy. I know this sounds dramatic, but like, there's just like an energy that surges through my body. Like I know someone's blood, sweat, and tears. I know what they went through to write that book. And everybody's, you know, version of blood, sweat, and tears for a cookbook is different, right?
Because it's not just the words. I mean, they're creating these things for the pages. So it's the words are just a fraction of it. And then it's the testing.
Well, and that's the thing. When it's done right, someone worked really, really hard to get these recipes to you. And not just someone, a group of people worked really, like, really hard.
Recipe testers. You sent them to recipe testers. Yes. So like you've got them as part of the process.
And I'll tell you now, even though I don't get to cook from all of them, sometimes I get submissions and I look at the book and I'm not going to share it with you because I can tell maybe if some recipes have not been tested to a thorough degree. And I'm like, well, I don't necessarily want to share that then because I don't trust this, right? So I do try and share with you only things that I really trust. And, you know, it's just been really exciting to meet all of these authors, to learn from them, to get inspired. But as we mentioned, we're switching it up on this episode to celebrate the 100th episode and the original origin of this podcast and where I kind of started with all the vegan shenanigans, which was the Vegan Roadie. So we chose one of our favorite vegan spots in the U.S. for this episode. There's not a cookbook for this place yet. You got to visit it. So we're talking restaurant talk. Yeah, there needs to be. But oh my gosh, her knowledge, she's so smart and she's so wonderful. So for this episode, we invite you, dear listeners, to discover the talent and passion behind Lartisan Creative Bakery and Bistro, founded by Chef Carolina.
Yes, with training from Le Cordon Bleu and certification from the American Culinary Federation, Carolina perfected her skills in prestigious Miami hotels like the Ritz-Carlton and Michelin star restaurants such as El Cielo.
Yes, she received mentorship from vegan pastry queen... I don't know why that word looked funny to me. Like pastry and queen were combining together, like pa-queen.
Pa-queen.
She received mentorship from vegan pastry queen Fran Costigan, who we know and love, friend of the pod.
Mama Fran.
She's got it. I think we probably told the story when she was on, but David and I, when we were very first dating, David bought me a baking class with Fran Costigan at I think we took
Where
two
was it?
Well, that one we took at the Institute of Culinary Education.
That's right.
But you bought me another baking class we took together, vegan baking class at Natural Gourmet Institute.
Natural Gourmet Institute. Yep.
Now taking cooking classes are not I'm teaching them. We don't get to take them. We got to find some.
We really should.
Yeah, because we had a blast, but we met Mama Fran there, is my point. And she's been on the podcast with her wonderful book, Vegan Chocolate. But anyways, she was a mentor of Carolina's, and Carolina further developed her craft under renowned chefs like Patrice Damaris and Gianluca Fausto at Leocole Valrhona in New York. Way into the DMs and tell me if I got that right or not.
Growing up in Venezuela, Carolina learned from her grandmother, Anna, the magic of using herbs and spices to create flavorful, loving dishes and desserts. She also understands the importance of nourishing both the body and soul through food.
Yes, yes. And before I say this last part to all you listeners, happy 100th episode. Thanks for being with us. And listen, at Le Artisan Creative Bakery and Bistro, Carolina brings her French culinary influences and her commitment to a cruelty-free world to life with each delicious, beautifully crafted treat. Here she is to chat all about the menu and all the bits and baubles that make L'Artisan a must-stop when you're in Miami. It's Chef Carolina Millay. She brings a delicious twist to classic French pastries while prioritizing animal welfare. It's the owner and founder of the first French vegan bakery in the United States. Please welcome to the Keep On Cooking podcast, Chef Carolina Millay. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Dustin. Such a pleasure to be here today.
I'm so excited you're here. We're going to dive right in and go into your icebreaker question here. Now, I feel like, you know, you have this business that is booming. You've worked so hard and it's so glorious, all of it. But do you ever get a day off? And when you do, what would we most likely find you doing on a day off?
Days off. That rarely happens because as a business owner, you know, you're always thinking about the next step that you're going to take. Yep. But it's so important to take breaks. You know, like I sometimes when I feel like I'm totally drained, I stay home. I just watch a movie. I love to watch movies. Or recently started to learn how to do watercolor painting.
Oh, great. And
yeah, I'm awful. But it's something, you know, like it disconnects you completely. Yeah. You're doing something different. It's still creative. So it's fantastic doing this. Little flowers, nothing related with cooking, nothing related with recipes or dealing with the business, but it helps my brain, you know, to have a break. So that's really important to me.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Watercolor, that's a fun one. My husband was doing like the adult coloring books for a while. He would get it like, you know, whatever theme you chose. I think we had a unicorn one for a while, you know, and we were doing those. Cool. But you really gotta, you know, as you're saying, when you're running a bit that there's time. You got to make the time, right? You've got to be like, wait, time to take a moment. And it's good to have an activity like that to sort of take yourself out of it. On a day off for me, my brain's always running. I feel similar. Like you're probably like that as well. But I guess I try to spend time with my dog, take walks with my dog, try to get quality time in with my husband, but also movies are a big one for me. I'll either go to the movies or really like make an event of it on the couch, you know, get some snacks and like pull up and be like, okay, what's something I haven't seen? But yeah, entertainment for me is always a great way to sort of like, and it's interesting to go out to eat. You know, I've been doing vegan roadie and all of this for so long. Going out to eat for me is a special, enjoyable experience, but I almost don't want to do that on my day off, but I also don't want to cook. But it's like, you also have to eat, but it's like food is so ingrained in what we do, right? That it's just kind of like, I want to stay away from food for the day. How do I do that? You know?
Yeah.
You can't. It's how we live in food.
You have to eat and you have to, it's also important to try different things because you also get inspiration from different, I don't know, new restaurants, new chefs that are doing something totally different with new ingredients or new products. So that's also part of it. Yep. So the eating out or trying different things or even ordering in, it's also part of owning the business.
It's part of the job.
We do. It's part of the job. Yes.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, I have to say, congratulations. This is a big celebratory episode, listeners, we're having today because it's our 100th episode of Keep On Cooking. But even bigger, better, more fabulous is You just celebrated 6 years of business at Lardison. 6 year
anniversary.
Oh, yes. That's so amazing. Carolina, this accomplishment is huge and you have so much to celebrate. How does it feel?
It feels like it's such a big accomplishment because when I started it, there's, you know, like so many questions. Are we going to make it? Is it going to be worth it? All the sacrifices and all the things that we had to deal with at 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. And to look back, sit down, you know, and really look back and all the things that we have accomplished, it's great. And it's very rewarding, but it also, it gives me the energy. Okay. You made it so far. Imagine all the things that you can do, all the things that there are waiting for us ahead. It's incredible. Yes.
Yes, absolutely. And I think I think I must have, my first visit to your place must have been in 2018, I feel like.
Yes, yes. It was
when you
were just open, brand new. Right? It was in North Beach. Yeah.
Okay.
It was
okay.
The first time.
Yes.
You know, back then it was so difficult to find a place for us because nobody believed in the vegan concept. It was like, oh, are you sure? Vegan French inspired bakery. That was the place that they told us, okay, we can give you a short term. This is going to be only for 2 years and let's see what happens. So look, 6 years later.
Look what happened. Look what happened. Come on now. Well, congratulations. I'm thrilled for you. And I am also excited to see what the future holds. And we're going to keep this celebration going. We're going to circle back, listeners, at the end of this episode with a special treat for you. So make sure you stay tuned. We want you to get in on the celebration as well. Now, Lardison Creative Bakery and Bistro started in 2018, but you're an absolute master at your craft, Carolina. I can say this from firsthand experience. When I'm at your bakery, I always have to cut myself off because I literally want to try every single item. Like I'm just drooling looking at the bakery case. And everything not only looks stunning, but the flavor holds up to just how gorgeous everything looks. So what was the road leading up to you opening the bakery and bistro? And when did you get involved with food as a profession? And when did it turn vegan for you?
I have always loved to bake. This is something that I've been doing ever since I was 5 years old. There's a beautiful story behind of me baking with my grandma back in Venezuela. But when we moved here to the United States, that's almost 12 years ago, I was just, you know, like it was hand in hand. Discovered veganism as a way of living and as a way of life. And I was learning all these new techniques, all these new ingredients, reimagining, you know, the plate as a whole. And I remember my husband told me, if you love to cook so much and you're so passionate about animals, and why don't you just combine both of them and go to culinary school? And this is my second career. I was like, you think so? And he's like, yes, of course. Let's see what happens. And if you love it that much, maybe we can open something because he's my partner in everything. So that's how it started. So I went to Le Cordon Bleu. I did not study baking and pastry. I went to the culinary part. So it was
okay.
Also,
I wondered. I saw that in your bio. I was like, oh, I wonder if pastry was the focus.
Yeah. So it was, you know, like a combination of the two things that I wanted to learn and master. So after graduating and having the experience of working in different hotels and restaurants and even as a private chef, I said, you know what? I do love to do this. This is something that I feel completely connected to, create dishes to feed people. You know that how incredible it is to create something and then give it to someone with so much love, with so much passion, and then see their reaction and knowing that you are nourishing that person.
Yes.
And that you are doing it with ingredients that are honest, that are kind to the environment, that are kind to your body, to everything. So to me, that was like the ultimate goal. And that's when my husband and I were like, okay, let's put these two things together. And also we are business owners. We've been entrepreneurs ever since we met. It's a very funny story. And that's how L'Artisan was created. And the name L'Artisan is the artisan behind it. It's my form because of my grandma.
Okay.
So she's the inspiration behind. And why French? Because I have always loved croissants. It's like a love story. And I couldn't find any croissants, like vegan croissants, anywhere. Imagine 12 years ago. Now it's easier. Right. Now it's great.
Easier, but still pretty unique.
It's pretty unique.
Find a good one, which yours are. They're amazing.
Thank you. So we said, okay, let's do something that is needed out there. You know, like find that niche market and create something different and with a purpose. Because we wanted to be very clear about why we're doing this. It's not just because, oh, another vegan business. It's because we are very intentional on everything that we do. And I wanted to offer something to the community that was difficult to find. In this case, vegan French inspired baked goods.
Yes.
You name it, macarons, croissants, the petit fours, petit gâteaux, all these different delicious creations that we couldn't find.
Yes, very good. And I mean, that bakery case is just brimming with stuff. Now, you said second business. You said it's a funny story. Do you have time to tell us the funny story? Or
when we met back in Venezuela almost 20 years ago.
Yeah.
I was working in an accounting firm because my first profession, I'm a business administrator. So
wow.
We were dating back then, and things happened in my country, in Venezuela. So they cut my hours, and the only way for me to kind of make up the hours that I was missing from my paycheck, I was making cakes and selling them at my office. So I was making cakes and selling them. And then my now husband says to me, listen, why don't we just buy something already made? We have more time for us. And then you just resell them. So it's business. Something. Yeah, business. And I'm like, okay, let's do that. So he would buy whatever from donuts and cakes. I was not vegan back then.
Then just
take them on his break from work to my office, and I would sell them. So that's how we started, you know, like creating all these business relationships. Also,
you're very business minded. So, and the accounting has had to have come in handy with
these
endeavors. That's amazing. Well, as we're speaking about it at L'Artisan, you bring your French culinary influences and your commitment to a cruelty-free world to life with each delicious, beautifully crafted treat. Truly, the bakery is located in the charming city of Coral Gables in Miami. You showcase a fusion of classic French techniques and your Latin roots, using only the finest ingredients to create delectable vegan treats, from your highly acclaimed VTE croissant sandwich to your seasonal changing selection of croissants, macarons, and gourmet cookies. There's something for everyone, but let's chat donuts for a minute. So when I was just there, probably, I mean, 2 weeks ago, I think maybe a week, 2 weeks, week and a half. When I was just there, I saw donuts have been added to the menu. But not only that, there was a sign on the space next door that said L'Artisan Donuts coming soon. Tell us everything.
Yes, that was about 2 years ago. So when the pandemic started and all this, we were just moving to this space. The owner of the building told us, listen, we have this space next door. Why don't you just take it? We will make anything you guys need to make it happen. And we thought, okay, let's open, because we had a pop-up some time back at North Beach, and it was a big success. Why don't we just open a donut store right next door? And but things happen. No, like it took forever to get our drawings approved. It took forever to build that space. So we brought the donuts already in our current location. So you can find donuts there. We have a wide selection. And of course, things changed a bit. And our crowd, our community grew. And now they need more seating space. So plans changed. Yeah, we have the donuts, and now what we're going to have next door is more seating space.
Wonderful. So
it's beautiful. It's almost done. We're just going through the last inspection. So hopefully in a couple of weeks, we're going to be opening to the public a brand new space with more seating, with more comfort for the people to share and enjoy. Because right now we have, during the weekends especially, we have lines and long waiting times. So thank you everyone for your support. It's going to happen, and you're going to have more space to enjoy and bring more family and friends to Lourdes.
Oh, I love this, that it's expanding into a bigger space, because I will tell listeners, it is also a vibe when you go in. It's so warm and welcoming and charming and cozy right now. Cozy the way you have it set up. And I know that cozy vibe, even though you're saying it's going to be bigger, it's going to transfer over into that. Because I will say, even about the previous space that I was at, like it's very much transfers from just who you are, which is a loving, caring, compassionate person, right? Like that is very apparent when you walk into the space. So I'm thrilled for you that it's going to expand. You can serve more people. That'll be lovely.
Exactly.
And we still got the donuts in the space too. So when someone comes in looking for a donut and they want a recommendation right now from your menu, what's the first one you would recommend to them?
The first donut, my favorite one, is the churro donut because it's covered in cinnamon sugar and it has our famous coconut dulce de leche on top. So, yeah, at the end of the day, whenever we have like one donut that didn't sell, that's, I go for it. It's my favorite.
Yes.
Yes.
Now you sent me, is this the caramel recipe that you sent me?
No, this is a different one. I sent
What is your secret to caramel sauce, essentially? You could share, if you could share with our listeners, like what's the tip you can give people about it?
One tip about caramel sauce, you have to start with a dry caramel. I know that we're very used to see on videos, oh, water and sugar, and then you cook it down. But the easiest way is to use just sugar, and you start adding little by little. Then you have a dry caramel. And then when you're going to add your dairy-free creamer, it's very important that it's warm so you don't create like a shock that this is very hot and this is cold, and then you have crystallized sugar everywhere, and you, oh, my goodness, what happened?
Yes.
Yeah, so keep your the creamer warm. Once you have this beautiful golden caramel ready to go, then you're going to start adding little by little, and then you whisk it. So depending on the consistency, the final consistency that you want for your sauce, if you want it too liquid or you want it more chewy, then you have to cook it back. That mixture that you have with your sugar and your creamer, then you cook it back. It depends on 112, 114 degrees. So that will evaporate the water, and then you're going to have a more consistent sauce.
Now, everyone, Carolina sent me the recipe for a caramel sauce, and you're okay if I share it with everyone? Is that right?
Yes, of course, of course.
Okay, so what's going to happen eventually is I'm going to make it, and I'll take a photo, and I'll share it with everyone so that everyone can get into it. But now you've got a tip from the master herself. So when I make it, and I hopefully now, I mean, I think that tip is already, I'm just thinking, oh, great. No one's ever said that to me. I'm so glad you just said that. So I'm excited to make that. I'm excited to make anything. Any recipe you ever want to share with me, send it my way, Carolina, because I'm excited to have
it. Of course. And that's a very simple recipe that you can keep in the cooler and just use it, you know, like on top of your ice cream. Or for a salted caramel.
I mean, I have a feeling it won't last long in my house. So, but, you know, I'll be able to bust it out for special occasions then. And it will be very special. What's a popular donut that your customers like the most?
The most popular right now, it's the Boston cream, which is filled with, vegan pastry cream that we make with almond milk. So delicious. That's the number one. It's really good. It's very, it's fantastic. You know, when all the cream coming out, it's just delicious.
I know that it is. It's so hard every time I go in there because, you know, I'm there for a short time. And I'm like, I just can't like fill up on everything because you want to enjoy it and you don't want to get to, but I want it all. You know what I mean? Huh. Well, let's go back, dive deeper into the bakery case where I saw the donuts, because there's so much more in there. Of course, we're talking about a variety of flaky, buttery croissants, cruffins, a cross between a croissant and a muffin, morning buns, pain au chocolat, macarons, you name it. And David and I had the almond croissant the last time we were in. I think I also had the, not think, I know I'm being coy, like, oh, I didn't do this too, but I also had the, it was a strawberry cheesecake croissant. Is that right?
Yes.
Did I have that
that's
recently?
Correct. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was like, I feel like that's what it was. It was delicious. And then I also, I'm a bit of a purist, so I had to get a plain one to have later as well. So I took a plain one to go, and it was so yummy. I love them so much. What are a couple, what are your, like your babies in the bakery case? Like, what are a couple of your favorites in there?
One of my favorites is the monkey bread. It's very humble, but so good, because we make it with the little pieces of the croissant dough. So we mix it then with sugar and cinnamon. And then we, once it's baked, we put chocolate ganache on top and also chocolate streusel. So you have all the combination of different textures, from crunchy to the doughy and very melty. It's just fantastic.
And
so
that's
one
streusel.
Of my favorite. Yes, it's absolutely delicious.
Ooh, I love that. So when we're looking at the bakery case, when your customers, because you have a loyal customer base there, what are some of their favorites from the bakery case?
From the bakery case, I would say definitely the strawberry cheesecake. Mm. It's been there because we usually change the flavors, but the strawberry cheesecake has been there ever since we opened. And we cannot take it out because then I would receive emails. Where is my strawberry cheesecake?
Yep.
Yeah, so that's one of the favorites. And of course, the almond croissant, because it's a classic. And I even have non-vegan customers that they say, oh, this is the most delicious one because it's so light and you actually get to taste the flavor of the almonds. So that's another one. And we just recently changed a little bit the shape of the pain au chocolat. And it's also one of the best sellers. Mm. But I think because of Miami, then the guava and cheese is also very popular.
So I was seeing that on. And that's is that a Danish or a croissant?
It's the
guava,
Danish.
And cream, guava and cream cheese, Danish. Mm. Mm-hmm. Oh, and I see your plain croissant one, Best Croissant Miami.
That's correct. And that was 6 years ago. It was crazy because it was the first time that that competition was getting, they were joining that competition here in Miami. And we were like, maybe it's a good idea that we just sign up. And it was only French chefs.
Wow.
The judges. Wow. And all very traditional, all very old bakeries here in Miami. And we were like, okay, we've been open for business only for 3 months, but who cares? Let's do it.
Yeah.
So the baker that was working with me at the time, he had a lot of experience. He worked very hard. And we were working really, really hard making all these croissants. And we happened to win. And it was a blind tasting. Yeah, it was a blind tasting competition. So when they said, oh, then and the winner is the vegan croissant, we were like, what? And then, of course, the judges like, what?
That's awesome.
It was
great. Imagine, too, you must get a lot of non-vegan customers that come in, I feel like.
Yes, a lot.
Oh, what a great form of activism this is then. People are just going, oh my gosh, this is delicious. And then I would imagine they get invested sometimes.
Yes. So this is my way of doing activism.
Yeah.
Every person chooses a path, and that's the beauty of veganism. You don't have to be just one way.
Right.
There are so many different things that you can do to share the message, you know? And this is the way I do it, through food, through incredible things that you can eat and enjoy with your family, and then with non-vegan friends that you can bring over, and then they would be like, I wasn't expecting this. And that's mission accomplished.
Absolutely. And I have a special place in my heart for, I even just got like a little emotional just hearing you talk about it, because owning a restaurant is so difficult. And I've talked to so many restaurant owners over the years with my show, The Vegan Roadie, and everything I get to do, and to continue onward and and bring this to the public. And like you're talking about sharing, and in particular with the items that you create, people really can come in and get a box of amazing vegan food and take it to any gathering. Everyone eats it. And then they can be like, oh, by the way.
Exactly.
Which I think is always just, you know, the perfect little moment there. I love that so much. That's great. Well, we've got so many great things. We've got cookies in here. We've got loaves, banana, marble, lemon. And then we've got, what's a favorite macaron of yours?
Mine is the cookies and cream.
Mm, we had that one. Delicious.
And then passion. And then, I just love macarons. You know,
it's so good.
I love making them. I love sharing them. It's just macarons, and it took a lot of trials and errors. Right now, you can find different online courses and people that are doing a great job. Mm-hmm. But when we started, it was so hard. But again, I mean, this community is so beautiful and gracious. I have a friend. We have never met in person, by the way. He's a chef in London. And we just happened to connect through social media, through Instagram.
The beauty of social media.
Right. And to create this community. And I was just asking him, you know, I'm having issues with my macarons. And he's like, don't worry. I'll share some tips and my recipe. Then you go from there. And that's how we started. We perfect the vegan macarons recipe. After that, of course, tweaking here and there, making it my own. But it's people helping each other, business owners helping each other, that community, that's what makes everything different.
Oh, that's such a fantastic story. Did you say his name? Do you want to give him a shout out? You might have said his
Jonathan.
Name.
Jonathan. He's just like my husband. Yeah, his name is Jonathan. Mm-hmm. Okay. He's in London. He's great.
And I love that. And y'all just figured it out together. That's so great. A common goal, really, that you were looking for.
Yes.
And we have to mention, we're talking about your baked goods. You've also got empanadas in there. So on the site right now, I'm seeing a beefless stew empanada, a potato chickpea and curry empanada, and a kale mushroom and corn empanada. Now, everyone, are you listening to all of this delicious stuff? You see why I struggle every time I go in deciding what to have. Are those is that the current lineup that you have? And do those change? Or is that the pretty standard menu for those?
Empanadas, those were the first thing that I ever sold here in the United States was my beefless empanada. And it's funny because I was going to culinary school, so I would make empanadas at night, go running to deliver the empanadas, and then go to school, and then go to get ingredients, the entire hustle. But they have a special place also. They haven't changed the same recipe. Everything is exactly the same. And consistency is key also. You know, like when you go to a place, that's a place where I always find that delicious empanada or sandwich. Or that consistency is very, very important. And that's why I don't change my recipes.
I'm absolutely getting that empanada the next time I'm in, and that just made it to the top of the list. I just love the origin story of it. So that's going to be I'm going to get a whole slew of things after this conversation, I'm sure, but that's all right. Well, we have to mention also to the listeners that you ship your baked goods nationwide. So tell us more about that and how listeners can order some baked goods if they aren't in the Miami area.
Absolutely. So the shipping business started exactly with COVID-19. We were ready to close the business because we couldn't handle it anymore. And then our customer through social media, through Instagram, he reached out and he said, hey, why are you going to close? Why don't you just start selling your stuff online? Start your online business and I can help you out. I can give you a shout out in my community and see how can we support what you're doing. And that's how it started. So they helped me. It was like overnight. I say, okay, if I have my community backing me up, I can do anything. So I remember telling my husband, hey, I got this message. What do you think? Should we start selling online? And he's like, let's do it. But there's nothing else. I mean, let's try out. So the entire night he stayed awake just creating that page. And I was just, you know, like changing the recipe to make sure that it would last through the shipping process.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Yep.
And then, okay, and let me see, cookies. Let me create a recipe for cookies, and let me, the macarons, of course, where can I buy the boxes for the macarons? So it was the entire night just figuring it out, my husband and I, and then the next day we had an online shop.
Wow. Wow. So it amazing. Again, you're like reaffirming my faith in social media. You know, it's easy to get bogged down by social media and be like, oh, this is, you know, with the negative this and that and da-da-da-da-da. But when you hear things like this about the community of it and people just sort of, you know, popping in and saying, hey, what about this? And it having this impact where you've created a whole nother business, essentially. I mean, really?
Yes. I remember that day I told my employees, I'm so sorry, I'm letting you down, but we have to close. And then the next day, hey, are you still in? We're going to ship. And they were like, yes, of course. So we just changed everything. And I was able to keep my team and then grow.
I love this. I love it so much. And everyone listening, that is, know that you can get these baked goods. We're, like I said, we're going to give you a little treat at the episode. It's going to have to do with shipping. So hang on tight. Well, now listen, it's not just about baked goods. We have to dive into the menu at L'Artisan, from fluffy and delicious pancakes and waffles to one of your famous croissant sandwiches. Your menu also includes soups and dishes inspired by classic French cuisine. Everything is made fresh daily with 100% plant-based ingredients and is sure to tantalize our listeners' taste buds. Now, you have all-day brunch. Very exciting. Of course, I want all-day brunch every day, all day. Let's dig into this menu. So pancakes and more. The one that pops out for me is the lemon blueberry pancakes. It's blueberry pancakes with lemon curd, blueberry compote, and pecan streusel. Again, with the streusel. It's calling my name. I zoned. And now, listen, I have some regrets, because when I was there last, I zoned in on the croissants because I couldn't wait to get back there to have croissants. And then I saw the croissant sandwiches and I was like, well, of course I'm going to get that. So I totally missed it altogether. I went right to the row with the croissant sandwiches in it. So I missed all the delicious pancake offerings. That's my lesson learned. Regrets. But what's a customer favorite pancake from the pancakes and more section?
One of the favorites is definitely the lemon blueberry. It's incredible because we use, as you said, we make everything in-house. So it's this delicious lemon kind of curd that we make that goes in between each one of the layers. Then we top it off with our very delicious blueberry compote and the streusel again, because you want these different textures from the fluffy and the fruity and that crunch that's going to give you that burst of flavors in your mouth.
Yes.
So that's one of the favorite ones. And of course, the guava and cream cheese, it's another favorite, because everything guava and cheese here in Miami is a bestseller. So we make our own guava paste that we incorporate kind of like a swirl in the center of the pancake, so it melts completely inside. And then we have the cinnamon cream cheese on top.
Delicious. And listeners, we also have tiramisu waffles. There's French toast on here with oat milk, vanilla ice cream, bourbon maple syrup, mixed berry compote, and pecan crumble, choco banana pancakes, strawberry shortcake pancakes. I love this so much. I got to tell you, I saw that you also have yogurt bowl and overnight oats in this section. And when I saw that lemon blueberry one on the menu when I was like looking stuff up for this episode, I mean, you can probably understand this line of thinking. I almost went immediately to my kitchen and was like, I'm going to make a version of this right now. It just sounded so good. Another one that I love on here is the cinnamon roll pancakes. And listeners, I got a little treat for you. This is not the treat, but a little twist in the episode. I'll be cooking for you on the podcast for the first time in this episode. So inspired by Carolina's cinnamon roll pancakes from the menu, I'm going to make, and hers are, you know, it's these pancakes with a delicious cinnamon and brown sugar swirl served with cinnamon cream cheese, maple syrup, and sugar glaze. I'm going to share my quick and easy recipe for everyone at home for some sheet pan cinnamon roll pancakes to tide you over until you can get into Lardison, of course. The next section here, so stay tuned for that. I'll do that at the end. I'll do a little cooking segment for you, but our next section is the famous croissant sandwiches. I had the VTE croissant sandwich with hash brown, vegan sausage patty, egg patty, and shiitake bacon when I was there. I enjoyed every scrumptious bite of it. What's a staff pick for you? I would imagine your staff often, they're moving around quick. They're going to take their break. They might grab a croissant sandwich. What's a croissant sandwich that your staff often orders from here?
For sure, the VTE. That's it's a favorite for everyone, for my husband, for our customers, my staff, everyone, because it's so much.
It's got everything you want on it.
It has everything, exactly, because it has the hash brown and then the sausage patty and then this delicious a bit of spicy ají amarillo sauce that combines everything in it, that it's just the favorite one.
Oh, I love that so much. So everyone, you know which croissant sandwich you have to pick first when you go in there, but then you can take one to go. You could do the Impossible Burger croissant, the Wild Mushroom croissant, the Avocado Toast croissant, the Croque Monsieur croissant. So lots of different options for everyone. You also have eggs the vegan way on this menu. You're putting just egg to use here with a quiche offering. I see here a delicious quiche with leeks and mozzarella cheese. And you've got soy chorizo eggs with scrambled just eggs, soy chorizo crumble, melted cheddar cheese, tomato chickpeas, and sweet potato hash topped with fresh cilantro. I'm here for it. And you do omelets. The customers can choose what they would like in their omelet. What's your favorite kind of omelet?
Very simple. Just cheese in it. And that's it.
Very simple.
Yeah, very simple. Just the cheese.
Very simple. What type of cheese do you, you probably use different. Do you make your cheese, some cheese in-house? Do you use a brand in your stuff? What are you using when you make your omelets?
At the beginning, we try making our own cheese, but that's a lot of work.
That's doing a lot of work.
Exactly. Yeah.
You're doing enough. You're doing enough. I want to validate that you're doing enough. We accept you getting a cheese, outsourcing it.
Yes, we outsource it. We use BioLife.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's also about, you know, like when you source it, you have to have consistency again. Like,
yeah.
Because we buy in bulk, so it has to be through a bulk supplier and all this. So,
BioLife, the meltability of BioLife is pretty good, like. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you also offer these items. I enjoy this very much. We can have a choice, listeners. We can get a side salad or potatoes. And I was with David, so of course he got potatoes. I got a salad, so we can both try both of them. Both are delicious, of course. Another section we have on here is hearty bowls. We have a French onion soup. I know that yours has to be outstanding, served with sourdough toast and Swiss cheese. Now, tell me about the baked, and I'm going to say this wrong, la dasha. I've never heard of this before. What is it?
A dasha, Miami based.
Okay.
So it's great. This company is from here and they make their own. It's a protein, vegan protein with lentils and chickpeas. And so they make this beautiful, like a block. So you can cut it, you can make a stew, anything you want. And it's very delicious and it's high protein and it's all very natural. So this is the section where we try to stay away from the pre-made stuff like the Impossible, which is great. Those are like more transition items.
Yeah.
And then you have your hearty bowls if you want to eat a little bit more clean. So you have soups, you have salads, you have these delicious bowls. And adasha, to me, it's a great, great ingredient.
So it's adasha. The L there is added on.
It's the French twist.
There we go. Okay. Okay. I was like, wait, I said it wrong? Or I see what happened now. Well, you've also got your lunch and dinner menu on here. Now, I know people must go mad over the brunch on here, but you've got some really great items on lunch and dinner here. Is there a most popular item from the lunch and dinner section?
Yes, then right now we are working with Chunk. It's incredible. It's vegan steak. The flavor, it's outstanding. And then it's just steak and fries. So French fries, this incredible, again, vegan steak with our chimichurri sauce.
Okay.
And that has been one of the best sellers lately. Then the pesto pasta is also a favorite because we have a lot of people that there are many offices around. So
that's great,
something then. they order. Yes, especially on Uber Eats or DoorDash or these different platforms. Those are our to-go items.
That's great. And you've got also, everyone listening, there's biscuits and gravy on here.
Yes. And that was supposed to be something just for this season, you know? But again, it's like, don't you dare to take this out of the menu.
Yeah, people love because, it, I bet.
Of course. And it's so absolutely amazing because it has these wild mushrooms and amorne sauce that we mix it. We make our own biscuits, so they are very fluffy and flaky and buttery. And then we top it off with the Impossible sausage. So you have like a very hearty meal, and that speaks straight to your heart.
Yeah.
I had it yesterday. I'm like, yeah, how am I supposed to take this out of the menu?
That's so always good. A good sign. I mean, you own the joint, and when you're eating your own food and you're going, oh, this is delicious.
That is, of course.
I mean, of course, obviously you think it's all delicious, but when you're able to have it and actually have this moment where you're like, yes, we're keeping this. This is good.
Yeah, exactly. Like every now and then, I'm like, okay, I'm going to have today this one and I'll just see it and enjoy it and make sure that I still have, you know, that same feeling. Because when you create a dish, you have this incredible burst of energy and you're like, oh my gosh, this is so good. That has to keep happening in time, you know?
Right.
And so I order it, I sit down and I enjoy it just like a regular customer. And I have to have that. Yes, this is.
Oh, good.
That moment is very important. So that moment is important.
And yes. I feel like with this menu too, you really have created an inclusive environment for everyone. Like, it doesn't matter if they're vegan or not. What I love about a place like it used to be, you know, I'd see a place that has a few vegan options and I would be like, oh, great. Everyone can eat there because I can have my thing. And, you know, my mom can have whatever she's going to have because she is not latching onto the plant-based lifestyle, you know, and whatever it is, whoever you're with. Right. But now a place like this, really, it caters to everyone. It doesn't matter that it's vegan. It's just delicious food. You're serving delicious food, like, period. And then it happens to be wonderful for us, the animals, the environment, all the things. So it really is just a well-rounded experience for people.
Yes. That was my ultimate goal, to make sure that anyone could enjoy. Because in my case, it's the same. Like, I am vegan. My daughter, she's vegan. My husband is not. He eats very much plant-based, but it has to be inclusive if we really want to take our message out there and be accepted, you know, and that's important.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, mission accomplished, I say. And let's wrap this up with a little business brag. Clearly, your bakery has become a beloved fixture in the Miami scene. And I can tell, I mean, I've been on the road where I've been traveling all over the U.S. and someone has said, have you gone to this bakery in Miami? And their face lights up when they start talking about your bakery. So tell me, what is a business brag for you? Something you're most proud of when it comes to L'Artisan Creative Bakery and Bistro?
Oh my goodness. I'm proud of everything. Of course, the croissant, it's to me, it was so difficult to get it, you know, like to learn how to make it. Most people don't know that I was not a master of croissants when I started. And so it was a process of love and hate with the croissant.
Sure. Oh, my goodness.
And I would stay in the bakery days for days, not going home, just making sure that everything was going to be perfect and worth of selling the next day, because I couldn't let down my community. I couldn't let down the people that was, you know, like, coming to my place and giving their hard-earned money to buy my products. So that commitment. So right now I'm very, very proud of where we are. And that croissant, it's the star. It's
I love it.
What I tell my team is, listen, guys, if you have to prioritize, croissants.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And with all this time and with this, the menu expanding, would you say that the croissant has remained the number one seller all this time?
Yes.
Oh, I love that. Yes. I love that. Yes. So the origin remains true. The base of the business remains true. Yes. You're right then. Combining croissant and priority, the priority has to remain the croissant. And it does.
Remain the croissant. Yes.
Oh, yes. So good.
At the start.
Well, that's Lardis and Creative Bakery and Bistro. I'm so thrilled to chat with you about it. Are you ready for your rapid fire round of questions?
Okay. Let's do it.
She adjusts in her chair, everybody. She's ready to go. Here we go. Donut or cupcake?
Donut.
I knew that was going to be it. Favorite pasta shape?
Oh, farfall.
Do you have a favorite game, like a board game or anything like that?
Monopoly?
Yes. Though you're good with money, I think, probably. So I'm worried to play Monopoly with you. I know you'd win.
Every time I play with my husband, he cheats on me on the Monopoly game. That's not fair.
Maybe he's learned that's his only way to win with you on it. So he's just getting spicy with it. Speaking of spice, what's your favorite spice to cook with?
Oh, my favorite spice. I forgot the name in English. Red pepper flakes. I love spicy food. So whenever I cook, I add it to everything. Yes, it's like salt.
Do you have a favorite type of hot sauce?
Hot sauce, Sriracha. Yes.
Must have tool to use in the kitchen.
Must have a whisk.
Yes, of course. And favorite snack when watching a movie?
Oh, popcorn.
Yep. Right? Classic.
Yes.
And a quick tip. Something you have learned as a business owner, a quick tip you can share with listeners.
Trust your guts.
Ah.
Yes, for sure. Because if I would have paid attention to all the people saying, no, you're crazy, but I was trusting my instinct, you know, like you have to know the why behind you're doing your business.
Yep.
And stay true to that.
Yes. Very good. Trust your gut. But pancakes or waffles?
Pancakes.
Beach or pool?
The beach. Yes.
The first thing you do when you get to the bakery in the mornings?
I say hi to everyone. Good morning.
Oh, yes. And now a shout out to one of your favorite vegan spots to dine at in Miami.
Oh, that would be Minty Z.
Okay.
Her dumplings are crazy good.
Say the name of it again.
Minty Z.
Okay. Minty
Z. Yes. Minty Z. Great. They do everything in-house. They're just incredible. Yeah, whenever we have a chance and whenever I have people visiting, we have to go there. So
perfect. Do you have a favorite dish there? Something that you always get?
They have a pineapple fried rice. It's really good. Yes.
Fantastic. That's your rapid fire. You did great.
Oh, that's awesome. Yes.
Yeah, easy breezy. See, easy breezy.
Absolutely.
Well, listeners, like I said, we have a special treat for you. So as we mentioned, 6-year anniversary of Lardison, and this is our 100th episode to celebrate. Carolina has been so generous. She's going to offer a special discount for you, dear listeners. Carolina, tell us about the discount, please.
So go to our online page and at checkout, you just need to type Dustin20. So you're going to get 20% discount off your order.
Amazing. Anything how long
you would like to order? It will run for the whole year, but it's just one per customer.
Great. So one per customer.
Yes.
Dustin20 at checkout. So everybody go to lardisonbakery.com, click on shop, get shopping, and it's 20 because it's 20% off, right?
It's Did 20% you say
that?
Off.
Yes. DUSTIN 20. Thank you for that. That's so kind and generous.
Of course.
everybody. Get excited, get shopping. Carolina, where can people find you and follow you and Lartisan on the internet and socials?
So on Instagram, we are at Lartisan Bakery or Carolina Molea. Those are the two accounts. Then on Facebook, and that would be all. I have tried with TikTok, but I am horrible. I don't know how to do the videos and the whole thing. So hopefully I'll get one of my kids doing it in the future.
Listen, if I could get my dog to run TikTok for me, I would be all about it. I would like, please get in there with your little doggy thumbs and do it. My goodness. Because I hear you. Same thing. But they might ban it. So we're not missing anything altogether.
Apparently. Yes, that's what I saw. So I saved the time.
Yeah, exactly. Well, in honor of our chat here and your brilliant menu, as promised everyone, I'm going to whip up some cinnamon roll sheet pan pancakes. They won't be nearly as amazing as what is available on Chef Carolina's menu, but you can try these at home and then get yourself to Lartisan when you're in Miami to try some treats, some pancakes, and whatever else your little heart desires. So stick around for some cooking. Carolina, it has been an absolute joy to connect with you and watch Lartisan grow over the years. Thank you for taking the time to chat with me, and congratulations again on 6 years and all the good you're putting into the world. I can't wait to see what the future brings for you and Lartisan, and just to see it continue to evolve. And thank you for all you do. I really appreciate you.
Thank you, Dustin, because it's been incredible, your support throughout this time. We remain friends and checking each other's. It's incredible. Again, the magic of social media, because that's how we met. And let's just keep it a positive and safe place for everyone so we can all grow. That's important.
All right, here we are. I'm so excited to finally cook for you on Keep On Cooking. So this is my Beyond the Cinnamon Roll Sheet Pan Pancakes from my book, Epic Vegan, Quick and Easy. When I saw there were cinnamon roll pancakes on Chef Carolina's menu, I had to make sure that we left this episode giving you an opportunity to make some of your own cinnamon roll pancakes at home. And then, of course, you can love them at home. And then when you go to Lartisan Bakery and Bistro, you can try them there for yourself, made by the team there. But this is going to help you at home to make something quick and easy that aligns with that. I'm also going to put the recipe for this with my notes from today in the show note description. And I'm going to post it on Instagram too. So you got the recipe everywhere you want to go. So you can make this one for free. You don't have to buy the book if you don't want to. So first thing I did, I'm lining a sheet tray with some parchment paper. But you can also, if you don't have parchment paper, you can just spray the sheet tray with it. I'm preheating the oven to 425. And now we're going to make our pancake batter. Very simple, very straightforward. We've got 3 cups of all-purpose flour. You can use 1-to-1 replacement gluten-free baking flour if you want to. That will work just as well for those of you who want it to be gluten-free. We've got 1/2 cup organic cane sugar I'm adding into here as well. And then we've got 1 tablespoon of baking powder, 1/2 teaspoon sea salt, and 1/2 teaspoon of ground cinnamon we're going to add into the dry mix. And since this is, you know, this book came out a couple of years ago, and as a recipe developer, you sort of sometimes you see things later and you're like, oh, maybe add this or do that. I originally didn't put any fat, any oil in this base because I put the mixture in with the brown sugar, butter brown sugar mixture. You'll see, we get to that. So I didn't put any in the base, but for this variation, I'm going to add 2 tablespoons of canola oil to this. So before I get to my wet, let me whisk these dry ingredients together here. Okay. And now I'm going to add 2 cups of soy milk, almond milk, plant milk, unsweetened, whatever your little heart desires. I mean, you could go with vanilla flavored on here. Why not? And then I'm going to add those 2 tablespoons of canola oil that I mentioned. So this is not in the original recipe. You can go without it if you want. And then we've got some vanilla. Let's see how much. 2 teaspoons vanilla extract here we're going to add to the mix, to the lineup. And then I'm just going to whisk it all together here. And the thing with these is, if you're using, especially if you're using the all-purpose flour that you might traditionally use, you don't want to over-whisk it because then it's going to get glutinous and chewy, and it's going to be a little lumpy.
So I found even with this, as I'm doing it, this batter tends to be on the thicker side. And I did that so it was almost like a cake consistency in the pan a little bit. But I have found, as I've made this over and over, because I go to this book all the time. And like I said, as a recipe developer, even though you tested it, you loved it, you put it in the book one way, you're always like, ooh, maybe this, maybe try this, maybe do that. So I'm going to add just a skosh more. Actually, this batter is great as it is. Oh, but I was talking, I switched between a whisk and a spatula because it just got a little thick. This is pretty good. I'm going to add a skosh, just a little dribble, maybe that was a tablespoon, more of plant milk, just to loosen it up just a tiny bit. You do want this to be on the thicker side, as opposed to a really thin, like, pancake batter, okay? All right, so I've got my batter, and now it's as simple as I'm going to add it to the sheet tray. And you're going to spread it out so it just spreads the entirety of the tray. Now, I've got an 11 by 16 baking tray here, which is a pretty standard size for a large sheet tray. You can do variations of this, though. And if you find you make it and for some reason it's, you know, the pan is too small, you can split the mixture up. You can do whatever kind of works best for the pan that you have at hand. And this does work, like I said, without parchment paper, but I like to use parchment paper. So, okay, I've spread this all out. And now I'm just going to bake it. Let's see, how long we bake a chicken? 12 to 14 minutes. I can't bake it yet, everybody. I've got to put the cinnamon swirl in, the best part. I almost forgot the best part. We're going to put the cinnamon swirl in. So, the batter is all spread out. One even layer. And now to make the brown sugar cinnamon spread, we're going to add brown sugar. So a quarter cup of brown sugar to 3 tablespoons of vegan butter. And then this is where things get cinnamon-y, my friends. We're going to add a tablespoon of cinnamon there. And we're just going to whisk it all together. Beautiful. And then, I believe I just get to drizzle it all willy-nilly, which is exciting. Okay, so I'm going to drizzle this into my pancakes. And we do just a simple drag through with a butter knife after this to make sure we get it evenly dispersed so that all your little pieces of pancake have that buttery brown sugar. Cinnamon-y goodness, okay? So I just take a butter knife and drag along the pancake in the batter to spread the cinnamon mixture out. I try to go in those places where I got the big blobs of the mixture so that I'm really hitting some of the brown sugar butter mixture to get spread around there. And this looks really pretty after it's done baking, too. So you got a nice, it's a cinnamon roll situation. That's what we're going for here. So you want to have that nice buttery brown sugar goodness throughout the pancake, of course, right? All right. So here it is. We've got a beautiful sort of marbled looking pancake. It's going to go in the oven to bake for about 12 to 14 minutes. And listen, while that's baking, you can prepare your glaze. Now, Chef Carolina's got like a cinnamon cream cheese. She serves with it with maple syrup and powdered sugar, I believe. So you can get fancy. You could do like a cream cheese mixture where it's a little cream cheese, a little powdered sugar, and just a little non-dairy milk, and whisk that all up into a glaze and drizzle that over your pancakes when they're done. The one in the book is very straightforward. It is a cup of confectioner's sugar with 1 to 2 teaspoons of plant milk. I'm actually going to do, for this one, some lemon juice to see if we can get a little bit of that tangy cream cheese kick, right? Now, this isn't in the book. I wish I would have put it in the book. You think of it later, right? But we're trying it today. We're going to see how it goes. So I did 1 cup of confectioner's sugar, with a juice of half a lemon. Let's see what our consistency is with that. If we're in a nice glaze, we're just going to keep it as is. And this will make like a sweet, tangy, ooh, it's perfect. You guys, a half teaspoon of lemon with 1 cup of confectioner's sugar really did the trick. It's got a great consistency. It's running just enough. It's coating a little bit on the whisk. So we've got a nice glaze there. I'm going to give it a little taste to see how I feel about it, because why not? Sugar, sugar, sugar. Wonderful. That's great. I would say it's still cream cheese. It's a little, since it, you know, it's almost lemony. It's still going to be delicious on there. I might mix, like, you'd have to do more powdered sugar to get the right consistency, because I'm thinking, oh, I might give this like a little pop of maple to it. That might be tasty. But really, this is going to be so good with those cinnamon roll sheet pan pancakes. You can also make this glaze exactly as it is in the book, which is a cup of powdered sugar and a little bit of plant milk until you get that glaze-like consistency that you want, my babies. So now those are in 12 to 14 minutes. They've probably been in, I don't have a timer. I've lost all timers in my kitchen suddenly. They've probably been in for a minute already. So I'm going to set it for 12 and we'll check it at 12. The timer is set. Let's do some timer magic. Okay, our pancakes are done. If you're watching the video of this, you can see we've got that decadent cinnamon swirl, that buttery brown sugar goodness throughout your pancake there. And it just looks really fun. One of the things I love about these pancakes too is it's great for like a brunch situation. So instead of flipping like a bunch of different pancakes, you know, this makes 12 pancakes. So you can serve several people. Instead of making a bunch of single pancakes, you can really create this quick and easy. Took me like, I washed the dishes, by the way, when this was in the oven. So altogether, this was like 15 minutes to pull this together. It's kind of amazing. So we're going to cut this into 12 pieces. Delicious. Oh, it smells so good. Smells so good. I was thinking about the glaze when these were baking. And honestly, you could do, I think this is more like a lemony glaze I made today. You could do like, I mean, I said a teaspoon of lemon. What I did was instead of a half teaspoon of lemon, what I actually did was a half juice of half a lemon. So what I might recommend is actually a teaspoon of lemon in this. And then if you need any more liquid, to use some plant milk so that you're not just overwhelming it with the citrus. If you want something, you know, more on the cream, if you just want a little gosh of tanginess, for the cream cheese aspect of it. I went a little overboard today. It's still delicious. I'm still going to eat it. I'm still going to love it. It's going to be amazing. Okay. These are our cinnamon roll sheet pan pancakes. So easy. Came together in 15 minutes. I got them on a plate now. I'm ready to dig into these bad boys. I got to tell y'all. So first of all, tell me how you felt about having a little cooking segment on here. Second of all, this is the 100th episode, and I'm just so grateful that y'all have tuned in. We've got a strong but mighty small base of listeners. And I'm so proud of that. And I'm so grateful for this community that's been created with Keep On Cooking. And I love doing this podcast. So thank you for 100 episodes. That's so cool to me. And thank you for, I hope you like this little shift in programming, having a chef on from a restaurant and, you know, having a recipe at the end of it. So feel free to pop into my DMs at the Dustin Harder on Instagram, or of course at Keep On Cooking Pod, and let me know what you thought of this. I'm going to drizzle this good, good, good on this good, good glaze, my babes. Oh, so luscious, so creamy, so decadent. Here we go. Drizzle, drizzle, drizzle. Baby, I'm into it. So good. Get that drip off the side. Yes. Oh. I love these pancakes so much, but I will tell you, it is on my list. I don't know, y'all. It's between, I'm going to have to go in the next time I go to Lardison and just like be ready to sample everything, because I want to try so much that's on that menu. But in particular, the pancake section, I'm thinking of those blueberry pancakes with the lemon curd. And now we got the cinnamon roll pancakes there as well. So go to Lardison. Let us know what you think. And as a gift to us on this 100th episode, if you haven't liked, reviewed, or subscribed to Keep On Cooking, it would mean the absolute world to me. The review is the big one. If you're able to pause what you're doing, give us a little review. That would be so delicious. Speaking of delicious, it's time for me to dig into these pancakes. I can't decide what bite I want because they all look so good. Oh, gosh. Really, y'all? I'm losing my mind here. I can't wait. Biting. Oh. Mmm. Y'all? I love this tangy glaze. But I stand true on my recommendation of, like, if you want more of a cream cheese situation, just a little smidgen of lemon juice, like a half teaspoon, and then use whatever other liquid you want to make your glaze. All right. I'm going to let you go. And don't forget, you've got that great discount that Chef Carolina gave you to shop over at lardisonbakery.com so you can get some of those baked goods shipped directly to your door. That's 20% off with Dustin20, D-U-S-T-I-N-2-0 at lardisonbakery.com at checkout when you're getting those baked goods. And listen, here's to 100 more episodes. I'll see you on the next one. Keep on cooking. And remember, it's nice to be nice.
This has been a Muzzy Cat production.